And gamers, trainers, Pokemon, you are listening to another episode of Pokemon's Health. Pokemon meets Men's Health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon, and we're hopping into an episode. This is from this past weekend. Did a live episode on Twitch, our very first one, with a man by the name of Anthony, aka Red Panda VGC. He's a man that I started to notice around at tournaments and whatnot. And as I started noticing him more and seeing that he was there and playing, I was starting to think, oh, hey, I should probably say hi to this guy. Seems cool, seems chill, and he is. Great story, great view on life, and a great great example of just living the life you want to live and being yourself. That said, it was my first time doing a stream together situation on Twitch. This is not perfect audio, and I commit myself to making sure it's better for you guys in the future. Without all that said, enjoy this one. Here is Red Panda VGC.
Hi, my name is Red Panda VGC. I am an amateur VGC player and Fortnite sweat. I stream 3 to 4 days per week and on surprise times on TikTok when I can. Usually Red Panda VGC and Red VGC on Twitter. Those are my socials. But I'm excited to be here, have some dope conversations about, you know, men's health, Pokemon, you know, just what's going on, what it's like being a man in the creator space, some of the struggles that, like, we face and whatnot, and, you know, just the experience and whatnot. Yeah. So thanks for having me.
Of course, dude. And just want to say thank you for joining. So glad that we finally got to do this, and thank you for kind of pushing me. We just saw the stumbling blocks, right? Getting out of the stumbling blocks of doing this stream together thing, but I think it'd be really cool to, you know, have conversations like this, play a couple games with the guys, all that good shit at the same time. So super excited to have you. You let us know a little bit about yourself. We'll just go a little bit deeper. Like, where are you from? How old are you? And what do you do for a living?
I'm from New York. I was born in Queens. And I was raised in Westchester County, which is just north of the city. So I have, like, the full experience in terms of that. I live in a suburb right now, and I'm 25 minutes away from Manhattan. And, you know, the farthest it can take me to get to probably the most obscure point of the city is, you know, like an hour and a half with bad traffic. So it's like, it's really nice. It's a very nice area. Seems like if I were right out of college, and had to live here, I probably couldn't, but I'm chilling with my parents, it's going well, going pretty well. I finished undergrad in 2021, and since then I've been working on and off in the finance sector. My last job was a financialist for a private university in the area, and I was in charge of running the credit line there. It was $800,000, and imagine what it's like talking to professors that forget their password every day and don't report their spending charges on their credit card. It's wonderful, right? Yeah. For the most part, I had a pretty fairly normal childhood. I'd say that everything about me is kind of out of pocket. I have, like, very, very big ADHD. I don't say bad anymore. I say, like, very big ADHD. Mm-hmm. I definitely like to think outside of the box. I'd say, like, I'm the most politically correct that you can get while still being a degenerate shit poster who also has their shit kind of together. And for the most part, what I'm doing for a living was mostly finance. And right now I'm actually starting an art business and getting ready for grad school. And I'm working part time and filling in hours whenever I can. So it's really cool. I'd say the job market isn't the best right now. If you're also a recent college grad, definitely keep it pushing for the higher education, for the postgraduate degrees and stuff, and definitely don't get discouraged. You know, that it's a tough time for everybody, but I feel like I'm probably the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
Even with everything going on.
For sure, man. There's a lot of shit going on, and there's a lot of reason to, like have a struggle with staying hopeful and whatnot. So I big time feel that, bro. Before we get to, I love the intro. It's a good kind of setting the stage for a lot of stuff. Let's talk a bit about Pokemon, which is, something that's brought us together as, new friends. And, how did you kind of get started with Pokemon? What was your first gen? And how, just for, again, for the benefit of people listening, how do you currently engage with the community?
So my first experience was when I have a twin sister. I have an older sister that watched over my twin sister and myself and helped take care of her with my mom when I was younger. And I must have been around 3 years old when my sister came home from the Japanese store that she worked from. And she had brought back, a few Pokemon toys and like coloring books and stuff like that. I remember saying like, what is this? Pokemon? Pokemon. And she would say, no, this is Pokemon. Because it wasn't like as popular as it was going to get at the time. And so she was telling me like the Japanese spelling, right? And so my parents are immigrants here. My dad is Congolese. My mom is Nepali. So Blasian persuasion, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And sort of one of the, so social disadvantage and that type of stuff. One of the things that really helped me connect with other people, or at least helped me make friends when I was growing up, and I must have been like 3-4 years old, was like Pokemon. And it wasn't until I was 5 years old that I got Pokemon Leaf Green. And ever since then, Pokemon's been one of my favorite games. I didn't touch it competitively, even slightly, until maybe probably Black and White. I went online for like an online casual battle, got destroyed, and didn't pick the game back up. I feel as though when I got into the game, because like, mind you, throughout all of this, like, I've had Pokemon plushies in my room. I have Pokemon plushies in my room that are like super, super old, super collectible and all this other stuff. So I've always enjoyed just like the concept of Pokemon and like training your friends. I have a real life Pokemon right here. He's using Rest. And otherwise he'd probably like say hi to the camera or something.
I've got a little
animals love Pokemon, and to give competitive a shot in, I believe it was 2020, at the end of 2020, when the Urshifu DLC came out, the Isle of Armor. Because I was like, okay, this is the pandemic. What do we do right now? At the time, I was into collecting sneakers and, you know, just being a straight up stoner skater, party animal, because I was a senior in college. And then just everybody stuck inside. And what did I do? I fell back in love with Pokemon. And it's been like ever since then, it's just been kind of a massive part of my life. And one of like the big constants, I'd say. So whenever I understand also that like the online community in certain places can be really unforgiving, really, you know, harsh towards certain individuals and whatnot. And the third, and I understand everybody's side of these things because, you know, it's an online space.
Absolutely.
But I find that my favorite part of the Pokemon community is like going to these events and meeting with people, having great conversations, seeing your friends, and then also playing some good Pokemon, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah.
The competitive aspect of things really stimulates me. And for me, at least, I'm a massive competitive gamer. If I play a game or if I really get deep into a game, I am hyper competitive. Like, I need to be the max rank. That goes for Fortnite, that goes for Pokemon, that goes for like pretty much like anything like that. So it's always been like a challenge for myself to get to Master Ball and past that. And 2 years ago, I got my feet wet with like open team sheet, and I was like, whoa, this is a lot harder, but like, it's a lot more fun also.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I was supposed to go to Vancouver and EUIC, but things popped up this month, so I can't. I'm going to be going to Orlando and then Indianapolis.
Hell yeah.
So hope to see people there.
Oh, you'll see me at both of those. That's the plan. Tell me real quick. I was having a little bit of video lag when you were showing the Pokemon. I think you said someone used Rest. Who were you holding up?
Well, it's Puppy. Come here.
It was Puppy. Too good.
Yeah, he's asleep.
Too cute.
Harley. I call him Puppy.
Yeah.
His imaginary nickname is Shapapas. I know we all give our dogs like pet names.
Totally.
I don't know. He just kind of looks like a Shapapas. He's usually somewhere in this room whenever I'm doing my thing.
Got you.
Online.
Got you. Got you.
He's a part of the crew over here.
Hell yeah. My cats are part of my team too. And I definitely have a Pokemon named after them. But that's another story. Next question is...
Oh, don't tell me one's Incineroar.
One is 100%. 100%. No, well, they're not named after the Pokemon. I have Pokemon named after them. But I have a black cat named Fortune, and so my Incineroar is named Fortune. So the nice. Big topic of the podcast is on masculinity and our just kind of what we've learned about it. So I always preface this by saying no judgment based on, you know, what you've, how you've come up, what you've learned just in passing, what, you know, society's put on you, et cetera. What do you, yeah, right. What do you think a man is quote unquote supposed to be?
So like my, so just for reference, I have a weirdly traditionalist upbringing, but like sort of reformed, progressive upbringing kind of mixed in. So for me growing up, I have an African dad that told me to keep my hair short because it's for girls, you know, and like not to paint my nails or anything like that. But I found though that like expression and a lot of things like that, it's very difficult for people to break out of like whatever shells they're like told, you know. You're told a man is supposed to do this or that or this or that and this or that and this and that, and a lot of people get into the nitty-gritty of what men are supposed to be rather than what we are, which is just people, you know. We always hear things like men should do this, men should do that. I know recently there was a kind of ridiculous clip of a lady going on, I don't even know which podcast it was, but she said, hey, if you're a man and you make $50,000 a year, you shouldn't be dating. And it's just like, just all that type of stuff. You know, there are a lot of expectations for men.
Yeah.
And I understand that societally it is like that. However, I've always just been like reserved because my parents have told me to be, but... I feel as though when I got more into like online community definitely helped me a ton. Just expressing myself, you know?
Yeah.
Like I remember back in the day I would wear like pink foam posits and an all white fit, but then I would make sure I looked just hood enough that it wasn't, you know, like all those things. You know, now I paint my nails whenever I want. I wear whatever type of clothing I want. When I'm in shape, there's some women clothing that like looks better on me than it does look on a girl's and what type of stuff. And people say that men shouldn't be doing that type of thing. And everywhere, almost everywhere on the internet, there's stuff saying this, bro. You have people like Andrew Tate who says maybe like 5% things that are helpful to men. And then the rest of it is just really just hubris and just like bigotry and just really just awful things. I feel as though being a man on the internet is, I understand why people are very, you know, weary, and I personally hate the term manosphere.
Yeah.
I really dislike that term.
Same.
Because I feel like we should be able to talk about things that affect men in the same way that they affect others, you know? One big thing that I've found about, at least, is, you know, when it comes to the job searching and things like that, men are constantly told that, like, and obviously this is not true. You know, I think people's like personalities and who they are really contributes values to them. But, you know, a lot of times men will say, hey, if you don't make this amount of money, then you're not this. And a lot of times it is a lot of men putting other men down and things like that. Finding a way to like break out of that and just be yourself, your most like authentic self, is so, it's like liberating, it's freeing, and it's completely gratifying.
It's free.
And not only that, one of the things to kind of connect it back to the Pokemon community is that, hey, if you go to, you can dress up however the fuck you want in the Pokemon community, and you go to these in-person events, some people are going to be dicks, some people are going to be awful people, and you know what, you can't keep those people out of the public. They're just always going to be there,
unfortunately.
But at the end of the day, I'm happy that I can pull up to like whatever type of event. If I dress like a girl, I dress like a guy or anything like that, I know that I'm going to be treated like Red Panda, like Anthony.
Absolutely.
And that's very, very gratifying for a man. I find that now as a content creator specifically, are you familiar with like TikTok hate, like YouTube comments and all that type of deal?
Just when you do any sort of content and anybody comes to say whatever the fuck they got to say, and how it's really hard to not try to fight my fuckers in the comments. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's exactly what I'm referring to. Actually, I'll be posting my gameplay and it'll be great gameplay and whatnot. And there'll be a kid that's coming up in the comments and be like, grown ass man, by the way, or like, bro's really 30 playing video games still and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it's easy to just be like, oh, these guys are ignorant. But then I realized that, like, back when I had a different way of thinking, that sort of, oh yeah, you grow up and you leave these things behind. Mm-hmm. I feel as though men's health, the emotional and just like the satisfaction when it comes to doing things that make you happy as a man, I feel like we as men should be putting ourselves first in that respect.
Absolutely.
And if there are people that want to say, okay, this person is like, this guy's a sissy, he is a this, he's a that, just because there's a guy that likes anime and wears, you know, fuzzy ears on the bus, like, it seems really judgmental. It seems really insecure. It seems like it comes from a place where a lot of men actually, you know, they don't want to be.
Yeah.
And when you first get that exposure, it's really difficult to not just let that be like, oh, this is the internet, this is that. Oh, maybe I should be a man, maybe I shouldn't. But the longer that you're online and the more that you realize, and, you know, one thing, people say don't read the YouTube comments. I understand that. But you know what you should also do? You should read the people. You should take a look at the people dropping those comments.
Yeah.
I promise you, that part will make you feel a lot better. Totally. When you get a lot of hate online and they tell you all these things because you do something that's not necessarily like hyper masculine.
Those guys,
because
are
almost 100% of the time.
Yeah, those guys,
those people just, they.
The lag is making things a little goofy. But I just want to.
I'm sorry. I have to block up these people like every day. So it's.
No, bro. Bro.
I'm sorry, but it's just like, I'm not gonna make fun of anybody's appearance in any capacity, but it's just, there's a lot of friendly fire going on from
Absolutely.
These people. And when you start to realize that and you start to like laugh at the things that they say about you, I think that makes you a real man, because you don't care about what other people think. You're just vibing and you're being happy. And if somebody wants to get themselves upset by what you're posting online, and by, if I don't have my nails painted right now, but if I have painted nails, or, you know, all these different things, you start to realize like, hey,
yeah,
like we're all men, we all go through similar things. And even people that aren't men, people who are non-binary, people who, you know, share an experience with us, we should not be told to act or look a certain way by people who don't have our best interests.
Absolutely.
And operating separately from that has made me an incredibly happy person. It has improved the quality of relationships that I have, both platonic and romantic. I've met some absolutely beautiful women and partners and people that I still keep in contact with to this day. And I realize if I'd never broken out of my shell and, you know, said, hey, that's what society thinks a man, yeah, is, but I'm going to be my own.
I'm going to do my thing.
It's really great.
It's beautiful,
so,
dude.
That's kind of what I was really excited to talk about today.
Yeah, man. You said so many great things there. One was like the freedom aspect of it, and then how like the commenters, people who had shit to say in the comments, are really great. And some comment sections are really fucking nasty, dude. Like some just really nasty, like... I cannot imagine getting on the internet and going to talk that shit about anyone at that level, you know? And sometimes I see like some manosphere, right? Sometimes I see manosphere content and like I'm doing the work to like help encourage guys to do what you're talking about. And it's like, yo, how do you want to be? Like, and just go be that. Because I really think the source of so many, like so much like pain that guys are going through is like, oh, they want to be something that they're unable to be, or they want to express themselves in a way that they're unable to do it. And it's like, yo, if you like just kind of do some of that stuff that makes you feel more like you, like for us, playing Pokemon could be one of those things. And it's like some little kid shit we should have put away. Fuck that, number one. But number two, it's like, yo, I'm so happy just coming to a tournament for 8, 9, 10 hours and just playing Pokemon with a bunch of other people who love Pokemon. And you know, like, if that makes me less of a man and like some fucking, you know, old school ass person's eyes, okay, whatever, I'm gonna do my thing, you know. And I think that it really is like so central. What do you say your life is about? What do you enjoy? And how do you go and do those things? And to do that without like caring about what other people think It's an act of courage overall. You know, it takes some real courage to say, hey, status quo, I'm gonna go ahead and push up against you and do what makes me happy. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about, like, of all those things, I'm sure you've gotten some comments from people. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes it can be people that look like us that don't like it when, you know, mm-hmm. another black person is super individualistic or something like that. It can be people, not just black men, yeah. but, you know, people on all sides, black women, people who aren't part of our community mm-hmm. that try to fit us in a box and whatnot. But all I gotta say, man, if someone tells you you're not a real man, I think you just gotta pull out the videos of you kicking ass in the ring, man. You just gotta. Yeah.
You just gotta. Well, bro, it's funny that you mentioned that.
You gotta bring that out. Be like, hey, you wanna get in there with me?
Yeah.
And see who's a real man after that, man.
It's so funny you mentioned that because, you know.
And that's the funniest thing. The people that judge the most usually are the least masculine people.
Absolutely. Like,
that's okay.
Absolutely.
It doesn't affect me.
You know, so. The people who judge the most being the least masculine people. While they want to put out this image of badass toughness, masculine, and it's just like, but the irony of all this hating is like you're not like even like kind of free being your own person, which I also think is like what is a more powerful masculine quality. Like, yes, it's nice to be able to kick ass, but like if that's all you can do and you're falling apart inside, what is the fucking point, you know? And I've always thought like as someone who's like, I'm gonna grow my hair long, yeah, I'm gonna color my fucking nails and do whatever I want with them, you know, yeah, I'm gonna like express like these like open loving beliefs and I'm gonna come off as a fucking simp because like this is actually how I see like masculinity like being presented. But I feel like a really good person to do that because I have a history of being able to kick ass. And like I don't like relying on like, hey, here's this traditional masculine quality and you should respect me because of it. But it is like, you know, I think guys kind of work like that. They got to be able to see like the likeness in what is traditional. You know, they got to be able to see like that piece of, you know, traditional masculinity that they respect before they will necessarily listen to the less quote unquote traditional like stuff that actually I think can move you towards better wellness. So I leverage it a little bit, but I look forward to the day where that is not how it operates and you can just, you know, trust and love another man because he's coming to you with, you know, love, you know, he's coming to you with love and respect and concern and whatnot. I think that's another big thing missing for guys is concern for one another.
And that's certainly something that I try to do. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, it's all good.
Something I try to do for my community members, you know, just being online and being a generally younger person on the internet, you tend to attract people that, you know, maybe look up to you in one way or another or think of you highly. And the internet's a place where, hey, like, you know, all these people don't give a fuck about you. So I try my best to be there for the men in my community and the women. And it's really that part is it doesn't matter between genders or whatever spectrum it is, because at the end of the day, somebody needs to know that they're worth it as a person.
Yeah.
But then you're in these spaces or you might happen to be in a space where you have an alcoholic dad. Mm. Who's all about masculinity and violence, and his way of reacting to things is getting the bottle and getting physical.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to realize that a man that hurts his family is not like a real man.
Yes.
And, you know, you start to realize that a lot of people around us are victims of just that.
Yeah.
They're victims of toxic masculinity. And instead of turning away from it, they lean into it because they're told their whole life that this is what you're supposed to be doing as a man. Mm. And I think that's just so counterintuitive. I think it's emotionally unintelligent mm-hmm. ways of operating. And overall, me being more vulnerable with my friends, with like finding a good group of guy friends. Also, I would say as a guy, you need to find some female friends that are purely platonic, that you're not interested in getting with.
Yes.
And see that, because one thing for sure, is that guys will say, "Oh, you're friends with a girl," and then they'll go and cry in their room when their homies make fun of them because they didn't get like a Minecraft speedrun world record. Yeah, oh, bro, didn't get the world record, and then he's gonna take it on the chin and then go inside and cry in his room.
Yeah,
and you know what? Crying in your room is a really valid thing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you're crying because you're hiding your feelings from somebody, that's whack.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I learned is, hey, bro, there might be some really emotional stuff that I'm reacting to on stream. I'm going to cry for that.
Yeah.
If I get really upset or I get frustrated, I might shed a tear.
Yeah.
And I just don't really care. Because at the end of the day, if you have a vision for yourself, you can't let anybody else on the internet like tell you otherwise.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the saddest things to see is, and I don't think highly of this creator, someone named Sneeko. I found out about him when I was in high school. He still had over 1 million subscribers, and he made very like introspective documentary type videos.
Yeah.
The thing that I really dislike about that guy, you know, and the Aiden Rosses is that not only are they extremely misguided, but they threw away their entire career. Aiden Ross was one of the biggest streamers on Twitch. Mm. Sneeko, above 1 million, had multiple channels with over 1 million. Both of these people, I mean Sneeko a little bit more, are blackballed now. Why? Because they copied somebody who they perceived to be a real man. These people went, they weren't like this, they saw Andrew Tate, they saw the virality, and they said, we're gonna do just this. And in doing that, they kind of derailed themselves so that moving forward, they're not gonna be the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
And they were already men doing their thing.
Yeah.
Why do you need a sex trafficker to come in here and tell you that like you're doing things like wrong?
I think that it
and gives... then you sort of derail everything. And it's like toxic masculinity. Like, bro, that's just not the way. And
that's the thing with toxic masculinity. I mean,
like if you play a fighting game, bro, like sure. But
even then, like the woke, emotionally intelligent fighting game streamer, like we're waiting for that person. You know what I mean? I think that is the thing with toxic masculinity. It is so pervasive because it operates. And I like to think that like I say... I try to say this in a way that is inclusive. It's like there's no wrong way to be a man, except for the ways in which you like are constantly hurting others and yourself. And toxic masculinity like has a lot of that, right? And a lot of it is, you know, I think a perversion or a looking for things that can be healthily masculine, you know, like the working out all the time, like that gets toxic if you are so attached to your image and the need to be strong that you're, you know, busting your ass 7 days a week when you need to be taking rest days. Like that's a small variation of it, right? But there is something that's really important mm-hmm. about being strong and in shape, of course, you know, but balance. Like, yes, you maybe, you know, want to choose the people who you share your feelings with, you know, but that doesn't mean hold it in all the damn time. You need those people in your life who you can go to when you're struggling with and whatnot. It's just like toxic masculinity, like is a balance. Like even guys who are responding to the Andrew Tates and whatnot, who like I think if you are any level of like, you know, educated just around these ideas, like Andrew Tate came out at a time like where toxic masculinity was not an old concept, right? And you think like people would like know like, oh, that's pretty some toxic bullshit. Let me like not lean into that, but like they go towards it. And I think that to me says that guys are looking for guidance due to like the confusion of like how the fuck they're supposed to be. You know, if we go before toxic masculinity was even a buzzword, right? Like we have the feminist movement, which is an extremely important movement, but like a lot of guys got the message that toxic, like, so you need to be the opposite. And it's like, you know, you go to the opposite and it's like, okay, but now you have all these guys who, you know, that have no routine, that aren't good with fitness, like have terrible social skills, but they're really like kind and gentle and soft and whatnot, which is also an important thing, but it's almost like a big swing in the other direction. So it's like you have all these mixed messages about like toxic masculinity says you have to be like this, you know, healthy masculinity says balance, I think. And then everything else is really confusing. And like guys are finding in like where they need to fit. And you get a fucking charismatic, fucking rich guy with all the stuff that we're supposed to want. Of course, they're going to be attracted to following that shit. You know what I mean? And that's not to excuse it, but to say we need to have more like kind of masculine role models of like, hey, here is how you can be healthy, successful, date the kind of person you want to date, have the body you want to have, like all these things. Here's how you do it. But like it really starts in here. You know, I'm pointing to my heart, like to your emotions, like who you are in there and discovering that and healing what's gone wrong and whatnot. You do all that, you're going to be on a much better path than the toxic shit and where it's trying to lead you. Trey, to the part where Panda spoke on friends and people being victims of circumstances especially truly spoke to me. I'm in college right now. I have friends back home. I've understood their struggle, why they cause inner issues within the friendship based on not having the healthiest upbringing. Oh, big time, man. Upbringing is, it's huge. I think we are all, like, in some way, like, even if we had parents that we really idolize and whatnot, like, have been, you know, challenged with some of their shit, right? And a lot of it leads to wounds. You mentioned your father, Anthony, my father just not being there, and like that by itself, like, you know, having a father or having a father that's, you know, pushing a belief of some sort can really affect the path that we're on and whatnot. I do have a couple more questions for you though. You mentioned your, I believe, ADHD, right? You deal with ADHD.
Yeah.
we can speak on any other thing, but I always love to ask the guys about any, mental health struggle or emotional health struggle that they've been challenged by and how they either manage or how they've overcome, the stuff that is brought up for them.
Okay. So, my ADHD, like the last psychoanalyst I visited, said that it was like probably one of the strongest cases that she's ever seen. Mm-hmm. Thankfully though, that despite having a very severe, the most severe kind of like ADHD disability that I can have, that, you know, I'm still intelligent. I still do real well. I got perfect score in SAT math.
Holy shit.
I have trouble reading.
Yeah.
Quickly. If it's not like text on a screen, like if it's almost like Star Wars credits, I can do that really well. Mm-hmm. Or if it's like, I don't know if you saw the video where it like pops up different like words on the screen, like at different speeds. Like I can get up to 200 words per second and understand things there. But you put a block of text and my brain kind of does not know what to look at.
Got you.
Like reading large bodies of text and those types of things get very difficult. Also, keeping myself mentally checked in. You know, I learned very early to dissociate really hard, which is not good. Mm-hmm. But also, in a sense, that made it so that, hey, there are certain areas where I can sit down and I can just stay still when my body's always in a state of motion. You learn things about yourself as somebody with ADHD as you grow and you learn things such as like micro grooming behaviors, right?
Yeah.
So for example, you might notice that somebody who has ADHD might always be fixing their hair and whatnot. We're not even aware that's happening.
Yeah.
Like all of these things, you know? So it sort of makes you appear a little bit jitterier, kind of not as put together. And in a sense, that's kind of true. Yeah. You know, I was always forgetting like textbooks and like this, that and whatnot, bring stuff to class. But also, like, there are benefits to that. You know, it's a disability in one sense, but that's not purely the case. Yeah. You know, my brain is overclocked. So there are certain things that, you know, like playing Fortnite when there's a million things going on, I feel like I can thrive in that environment, right?
You're doing it.
But also getting ahead of the things that, like, stop me, you know? Mm-hmm. Finding a spot in the house for almost everything, as weird or as like counterintuitive as it might be, is probably the best way, because a lot of people with ADHD don't have complete object permanence. Mm-hmm. Meaning that if I put something down, my brain doesn't like remember where exactly it is, right? So if I turn around and if I don't see the camera or what's behind me, there could be like a crocodile behind me with its mouth open, and I'd just be like, is that a Gucci bag? Bam. My arm is gone. Yeah. And just certain things like that. After a while, you start to realize that you forget things more than the average person. Mm-hmm. And what this culminates in is really, really low self-esteem and self-worth, where you feel like you're too useless to do literally anything at all. And the best way to come out of that is, yeah, you could get remedicated for ADHD. That's an option for people, and they have better options for people now.
Yeah.
And I was one of those kids that was pumped up to the absolute max, 40 milligrams of Vyvanse, so that I would be able to focus in class. But what people weren't focusing on was, people weren't focusing on the fact that my sleep schedule was bad.
Yeah.
People weren't focusing on the fact that I had issues with my parents, and they would bleed into school in the form of me being disrespectful or not caring about things. Also, the fact that my disability is a learning disability, and that there are things that my parents did when I was growing up that in today's day and age wouldn't be socially acceptable, not because it's wrong, but because we know better now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot to unpack in that sense. I would say the best way to like get past it and learn to work with your ADHD is to understand what kind of ADHD you have. Are you inattentive? Do you have hyperactivity, or do you not have hyperactivity? And also, one thing that you need to do is you need to forgive the people that did the things wrong to you because of your disability.
Wow.
It sucks.
Yeah.
It's annoying, and it's a painful process. And not everybody is going to be willing to meet you in the same place. Like, when I tell my parents now, even to this day, like, my dad makes changes slowly but surely that, you know, help me live my life better as somebody with ADHD. And not only that, I'd say give yourself some credit. Go out and do something and focus on yourself. Be ambitious, but remember that your brain forgets to take care of you, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes, and it doesn't matter how many times, I could do a morning routine a million times. That's an impossible number. But there's always going to be a possibility that, hey, I missed this one step. So what do I have to do to get around it? What, complain on Twitter or TikTok or Reddit? No, just give yourself a little bit more time.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Because at the end of the day, if you feel as though your disability is holding you back, that's fair. There's medication for it. There are options for it. It doesn't have to be something that holds you back. And it certainly doesn't make you any less of a man or anything because you have a disability.
Mm-hmm.
Especially one that's invisible. And I know people who are on the spectrum, people who have ASD, people who have Tourette's, like they experience some similar things. And neurodivergence is not a disorder. It's really just a different way that your brain works, you know. AMD versus Radeon. This is stupid, but like AMD versus Intel.
Good stuff, man.
And that type of deal. But I feel as though now I'm at a point where I legitimately don't need the medication. I've been able to work successfully in a corporate job, corporate environment, like I said. And I've had good opportunities. And it takes, this is probably the last, this is a long explanation, I'm so sorry. The biggest thing that's holding you back with ADHD and your own disabilities is yourself. Because when you sit down and you say, oh, I can't do this because of my ADHD, or you make excuses for yourself, and then it's really bad because you give yourself zero accountability. And if you're allowed to give yourself that accountability and be like, oh, that was stupid of me, and so next time we're going to do it like this instead of that was stupid of me, I'm never going to get it right, like blah, 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 blah. You're fighting with yourself, and you need to be really, really, really gentle on yourself because you yourself have the disability. And it's not a teacher that doesn't understand or anything. It's you, you know? So
that's huge. My self-care. The man who just commented, my cousin, a few minutes ago, he grew up with ADHD, and he said a similar thing when he was in school. Like he just... like there was a point where it was just like, well, I have it and I'm going to have to deal with it anyway. So why don't I figure out what I need to figure out about how to manage this and not put it on, you know, how everyone's interacting with me and whatnot. So very potent statement there, brother. Last question, two questions in one, as we wrap up here. First, What are you most excited for next in Pokemon? So one thing you're most excited for next. And then if you had any supportive words to a man who was just generally going through it, what might you say to that man to help him get through the day?
What would I say? Can you repeat the first question? I'm sorry.
Yeah. What are you most excited for next in Pokemon?
I'm excited to see how the, you know, the Legends, the next Legends game is taken. I've heard rumors that it might be an action RPG, which is, you know, it's cool. I really liked I didn't like Legends Arceus because I felt like it was really a collection quest.
I get that.
But, you know, walking around the environment where you see Pokemon acting however type of way they're programmed, you know, it's a little bit magical. It's cool. And it was in the middle of a prehistoric, we don't know whatever it was, and like the Sinnoh region, which is, I believe, based on Mount Fuji. So very limited environment to actually do things, but I still like the game. Yeah. Like, it's not my favorite game. I understand what's wrong with it. I understand why it's not mine. It's not for me, but I'm definitely excited. I wonder if Zygarde is going to get a new form.
He has to.
Because it's it's already busted. Zygarde is one of the best counters to Zacian, and in the restricted format, I'm gonna bring Zygarde back with Zamazenta. Zygarde Zamazenta was a lead that I ran, and I did really well counterplay.
Let's go.
But also, I'm excited for what's next in Pokemon. Seeing Pokemon become more of like a household brand, and things like sleep. And otherwise,
because
back in the day, I think we all had our Nintendo DSs open while our parents snuck into the room and we were playing Pokemon, fucking up our sleep.
Yeah.
Now we can play Pokemon and get good
sleep. While sleeping, baby.
I feel like that's really cool. And for the advice that I have to anybody, I would say if a man, could you rephrase that?
Yeah. Yeah. Any supportive words that you might say to anyone who's just going through it, any man who's going through it, just in general, anything that you might say that'd be supportive to help him get through the next day?
Well, what I would say is that you as a man are a man. Mm-hmm. By being born and making it to this stage, you are a real man. Mm-hmm. And things that other people are going to tell you don't diminish the fact that you are a man. Mm-hmm. And that you go through it. Mm-hmm. And even strong men, the biggest men in the world, they cry. Mm-hmm. Behind closed doors. Don't hold yourself to a bulletproof standard because nobody in the entire world can do that. A lot of people don't open up. And if you feel as though you're somebody that can't open up, then you need to engage in a more extreme form of self-help and self-care. If you feel as though you don't like your body, you need to go to the gym or you need to watch your macros, or you need to find out what you're intolerant to. That's preventing you from seeing the results that you need. Yeah. If you feel like you have an issue with somebody, you have to go and confront it. It's scary to do that, and a lot of men don't like that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you're going to thank yourself for it. If you feel like you're in an environment where you really have no control, you need to find your way out of that environment. Mm-hmm. Whether that's through emotional support, moving out of wherever you are right now, say you live with abusive parents, you need to move out of there and you need to double down and you need to do what it is. Because if you don't like the place that you are right now, only you are able to do the most about it. And waiting for somebody to save you or waiting for somebody to anything, like putting 100% of your stock and emotion into drugs and alcohol is not going to help you. Mm-hmm. It's going to do completely the opposite. I would say that if you feel like you struggle with these things, learn how to control yourself. Learn how to have more restraint. Learn that the things that make you feel good as a man can also destroy your health as a man, and that's not something that you want. And overall, surround yourself with people that care about you.
Yeah. I think that you mentioned
in that sense, this is probably the most important thing, is that for the first couple of years on Twitch and on the internet, I surrounded myself with people that I thought were okay. These people play Pokemon. These people are this and that. And I surrounded myself with some of the worst fucking people on the internet. And the thing is that some of those people on the internet don't present themselves like that. So be very careful. And when you get a red flag feeling from somebody, that's not just a feeling. You're not overreacting. When you hear somebody say something that diminishes something that other men do, that's a red flag. When you see someone who simps and destroys his friendships for women that may or may not be interested in him, who just has that tendency, you need to take that person out of your life. Especially on the internet. When you find out that people are talking smack about you and your goals on the internet or laughing about you on Twitter, which, yeah, people have laughed at me on Twitter and like made actually like actually. And the thing is, like, I just don't care. But if I did, I would say, like, hey, that's pretty fucking mean.
Yeah, totally.
And I did nothing to these people, right? Yeah. You should leave those people behind. Regardless of who is popular and next to them or not, because all these things, they come to light eventually.
Yeah.
And if you are one of those people that's doing those fucked up things, I think you should take accountability and change. Because while I would say that a lot of the people that I was around back in back when I started streaming were awful people, yeah, they were. But you know what? I was just as bad. Because I was a company I kept. So keep yourself around people that motivate you, inspire you, challenge you, even if it's not fun, you know? Like, I'll have uncomfortable conversations with people that are my friends because I know that they're going through it and there's something that they don't want to hear that they need to.
Yeah, that's huge.
And that everybody that's pretending to be their friend is only just going to tell them what they want to hear.
My man, thank you.
If you can find somebody that does that for you, don't push those people away also, because there are people that will help you. But you can't just go to just anybody. So guard yourself. Like, you are the prize. You are the man. You are worth it. You are just as worth it as anybody else on this planet. And the amount of money that you make and the things that you are interested in, the way that you dress and express yourself, will never take that away. And I hate to be that person. But I'll make an example, right?
I think that's going to be good for this one, brother. I think you got it. You put out a lot of great stuff there, man. I don't want to diminish it. Fantastic there. I hear balance. And one of my most passionate things is the things I'm most passionate about is like really watching the people in your life. And the reflection, because you said even then, like, you felt like you were part of that, like, not so great click, and you surround yourself with better people. And I think that that's such a big part of the game. And it sounds like you've come a long way from kind of, you know, from your ADHD journey to having the right people in your life journey, like just getting the awareness around the things that you needed to have to bring better health to yourself, better outcomes to yourself. So really, really happy for you, brother, to have all that. And I really appreciate you coming on today and spending some time with me.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, brother.
This is dope.
Of course, of course. We'll definitely have you on again another time, brother. We got all the situations done. We understand how to do stream together. It's going to be even more fire next time. But yeah, brother,
yeah.
I'm going to wish you a good rest of your Sunday, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.
Peace out. Panda out.
And friends, that is another one in the books. Thanks so much for joining us for this one. That was a fun one, especially because it was the first time, again, doing the, I guess, stream together function on Twitch for me, where you're streaming with a person and there was all sorts of issues with it, right? But we got through it, and I really, you know, I was afraid to do it because I'm like, dude, there's totally going to be issues with this thing. And there were, and Red Panda, like, just forcing me to do it, not forcing me, but inviting me to do it, made it like, okay, we're going to figure this damn thing out. And I'm really excited because it's going to give us some opportunity to do some more dynamic podcasts in the future. So please excuse the kind of lag time there might have been between questions. I know there's a little echoey situation going on. I'm going to make sure we minimize that next time as well. And just any other kind of audio things that made it a little bit less of a fun listening experience than typical. But definitely, you know, pushing the envelope. One of my favorite things that Panda said towards the end there was around, like, just knowing that he was around not the right people. And I think that that is something for all of us to reflect on, like, who is in your life. They say the top five people kind of the average of them is makes up you, you know, and just thinking about that and the people in your life and the level of respect you hold for those people in your life, what you see them doing with their lives. If that, like, if you averaged all that out and that's not who you want to be, you might want to consider the people who are in your life. And I don't think anyone is exempt of that kind of rule of thumb. So just really honing in on having the right people in your life. Make sure you got people who are supporting you, but also people who are doing big things or similar things to like what you want to do with yours. And I don't think you're going to go wrong with that. That said, I'm really looking forward to the next one. It's a great lineup of guests coming up for you in these next few weeks. So looking forward to sharing that with you. Talk soon.